All right, this is our second part of the commute that me and Clint were doing earlier. He wanted to talk about...
Oh, we're going to talk Battletech.
Battletech, because you got it in the mail, so...
Yep, I got the official box, not the beginner box, but the... not Total Warfare. I get it confused, because there is still the Total Warfare stuff out there for Battletech, which is kind of the old original... with a little bit of tweaking, so it doesn't require a map, basically. So I guess I'll kind of explain that first. So right now with Catalyst taking over Battletech, they left the original stuff as an option for them to update, which is what they did. And the original has the map with the hex like I showed you. It has the miniatures, you move it on the map. There for a while, after the WizKids thing with Battletech, they had what I guess they kind of call Total Warfare, or it was like Classic Battletech, or God knows what. Basically, you just did it on regular terrain table and you used a ruler. Rules aren't very much different, you just don't have the hexes. So that is still quite available, and Iron Wind Metal still makes metal miniatures for Battletech to play it that way. And the reason I'm actually kind of explaining that is because this box set will have the cards to play Total Warfare with these mechs.
Okay.
So instead of having a sheet that you mark off everything, you've got your little cards like we do with Team Yankee, Flames of War, a lot of the other games where you War Machine, where you've got the little card with the stats.
Gotcha. Okay.
So it kind of gives you both. You can do it both ways. I'm old school on that one. Battletech on the hex grid map is the way you play Battletech. Not that the other ways are bad.
That's just the way you
prefer
to play
it. It's just the way I've always played it. I like going back to it. I have no problem playing it the other way. There was a lot of cool stuff you could do with it, but it just wasn't... It didn't feel quite right.
Well, what they did, though, was open it up for people that have never played.
Yep.
And then, if they've never played, they would have an option. Or it might be more familiar for them. I don't know. But, since you used to play it that way, why not?
Yeah, so you might as well pick it up and everything.
Yeah.
So the beginning... 65 Mustang Fastback on that one. Yeah, I know.
That's okay. You're going to see things as we go.
Yep, that's true. We're on the interstate, so that makes sense. Probably should do the speed limit. I'm kind of lacking in going slower than everyone else.
Wait a minute. Now that you're slowing down, those green things are coming into focus. Are those trees, Clint?
Yeah, those are trees. Yeah,
there we go. I was wondering what those blurry green things were going by. Whoosh.
Right.
All right. There we go.
You just assume that I go fast for some reason.
Yeah, I'm just.
I don't know why you seem to think that I'm a speeder or anything, because, you know. Anyway.
We had a warp drive trip the one time is all, so that's
oh, yeah, warp drive trip. We got up to 100 on the highway, and you're calling that a warp drive trip.
Well, the speed limit's 65.
Yeah, the speed limit was 70, let's be fair. And we were in a Jeep Grand Cherokee, so it's not like we were in a sports car or anything. Yeah, it had a Hemi. It could do it, but I've been faster with more, you know. Anyway, moving on.
There's some car info for you.
I think
a Jeep could do it. It can.
We won't even talk about when I drove the Ranchero from Cedar Rapids to Iowa City at 140 miles an hour. Man, we didn't have the traffic we have now back then. The road was
so... The only thing stopping you is the traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Those little signs are like,
The signs didn't hinder me any. It was literally all the other cars.
All the cars in your way. Well, no wonder you like race-type games, too. It just whoosh.
Yeah, it's just because I grew up drag racing. We had a race car, so...
Well, there you go. So
I love those taillights on the Mustangs. Love the sequential. Those started on the Mercury Cougar. Okay, so we've become a car episode now. The sequential taillights...
It's in front of you, yeah.
Yeah, that Mustang had actually started on the 67 Mercury Cougar. They were the only ones that had sequential taillights up until 70, and then they stopped. And nobody... They weren't popular back then. Nowadays, they're popular, and the Mustangs started getting them, and
that's
everyone loves it.
People don't know it was from the past. So
yeah, it's all old technology.
It's old tech that they just repackaged.
It's just awesome.
People are like, wow, look at that. It is kind of cool to watch them switch lanes.
It is cool. Wait till you see it on a Cougar with the full tail lights all the way across, because it's huge. That whole side of the car lights up as it does it. It's neat. Moving on.
Back to Battletech.
Back to Battletech, yes.
Wait, do the mechs come with lights? Maybe we could put some on
those. Oh, they have some of them. The original Warhammer in the first release of Battletech had a spotlight that you could use as a weapon. It would give a penalty to the attack rolls of the person shooting at it because it would just turn on this giant spotlight. Because
it was blinding them.
Yeah, it was really cool. Thank you, Harmony Gold, for screwing that up. Appreciate it.
How did they screw that
because,
up?
So the original, and I think I've touched on this before, the original BattleTech, a lot of the mechs were very, very, like 100% similar to all the Robotech stuff. Like 100%, oh,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, and like copied.
They were copied. And so, of course, Harmony Gold sued FASA for copyright infringement, and they did win. And it took away all the old classic battle mechs, which became known as unseen mechs. So the for FASA to keep this whole book's worth of mechs still current, they redesigned the models, kept the names, because they could keep the names. They owned the right to the names. They didn't call this a Veritech. This was a Wasp or a Stinger or a Shadowhawk. And then over the years, it kind of... They kind of got not what they used to be, not the old school. And it's fine if you were new into BattleTech when everything was changing, you didn't know the difference. But if you were one of the first people... And I posted on the Facebook page, the first Battlemaster versus the Battlemaster from the current box. And that first Battlemaster was actually a Robotech design. And that was one of the ones that... they couldn't produce anymore because of the lawsuit.
Oh, the French, right? Yeah.
And that's why you will see a lot of people making comments about BattleTech, the old classic BattleTech, and basically saying, yep, big middle finger to you, Harmony Gold, because the lawsuit expired, the rights all changed, and now if you look at those same mechs, again, referencing the Facebook page, they're very similar design. There is not a lot of variation. There's a little, but not a lot.
Enough to make it where it wasn't the same.
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like it used to. And they consider those as unseen. I hate the term. I really do. I think the term unseen is stupid. But I understand why they do what they do. You know, I get it.
It can't be, duplicating people's stuff. You kind of need to be able to have your own original. So on this box set,
so
we'll touch on that briefly because we're gonna put a video up for you guys, too. And, when we get back.
So, I'll circle back to the beginner box first.
This is what you have now, right?
This is not the beginner box. This is the regular standard box.
Just your standard start. So, well, that's what I mean by beginner.
Well, but so there is a box called the beginner's box. So, you can buy this box. This box is a $60 box set.
Okay.
You can buy the beginner's box, which is a $20 box set. Now,
okay, I got
you. It's a brilliant move for them to get people who've never played BattleTech into BattleTech. So with the beginner box, you get two plastic mechs and like five or six of the cardboard standees, which is cool.
Villains, yeah.
So it gives you like seven or eight mechs to use, even though two of them are miniatures. The beginner box does not include the mech sheets that you will see in this box set. Does not include the heat scale. Does not include the internal structure. It's just a quick and, I don't want to say a quick and dirty rules because it's actually a very smooth rule system,
but it's a throwdown.
It's like a quick play.
Yeah,
you get in, you start playing right away. You can get a game in 15, 20 minutes. Once the armor's gone, the mech's destroyed, you're done. There's no critical effects. You're not limping around or trying to hop on one leg or trying to pull yourself up with one arm missing and one leg missing, and you're not doing some crazy stuff in the beginner box. You're also not tracking heat. Heat is very important, and I'll explain that later, why heat is important. But you're not doing that in the beginner box. And again, the beginner box is $20. You get a little story arc novel, which is always cool. It gets you a little feel for the world, a little flavor. But you got a couple miniatures, and you got the cardboard standees. You got a nice map. You've got the terrain pieces. I'd almost buy the beginner box just for the terrain pieces. Really?
Just so I have more.
Because they're awesome.
And this set that you got was just your standard box set with $60?
The $60 one I've got eight mechs.
These are full-on plastic.
Full-on plastic, and I've got eight standees.
Okay.
But then I've got the terrain, and I'm going to throw this in there real quick. Catalyst, if someone from Catalyst Labs is actually listening to this podcast, I would like more of the little terrain pieces, please. Make it actually so we can buy those little hill expansions. I totally want more of them. They're awesome. All right, moving on. My little shameless plug there. You've got the full rule book, which does include the heat scale, the critical damage, the internal structure charts, the sheets for that. It also includes the rules for making your own mech. So you can just design your own mech up to 100 tons. And it gives you all the formulas, and it's real easy to do because everything's done by weight. And you can, you know, you can make a 100-ton mech with a serious bout of weapons without heat issues at all, where you'll never have to track heat. And it'll just do massive amounts of damage. You can take a huge punishment. I mean, you can really overpower it.
Well, in this set here, though, you get the 8, you said, plus the standards, plus you get maps, and you get
heat. You get the maps and the terrain, which is awesome. And the reason the terrain is awesome is you get your paper map, like I showed you those other maps.
Those are actually really nicely detailed.
They're awesome,
detailed,
yes.
Yeah.
And it's a heavy paper stock, so it's not like it's cheap paper. And it is double-sided. The nice thing you get with the box sets that you don't get with, like, the map packs is the hill or elevation terrain that you get is a cardboard, in a little punch-out cardboard thing that can be added anywhere on the map versus the hills that are just already drawn into the part of the map. So you've got a little more customizability, even though it's still two-dimensional terrain. You can kind of pick and choose. That's why I said I want a map pack of just those. Just so I've got all these options to do all these really cool hills. And, you know, even if you put out a map pack with a flat desert or grass type mat and a bunch of hill packs so you can make the map however you want, I totally buy the crap out of that map pack. I'd buy at least 2 just so we had all these really cool, awesome options. And you can put the maps together to make the map bigger.
So if you can expand the maps across the board.
Yeah.
Then you can make a bigger playfield, and if you, especially if you have more people. And so, on this one, is it a two-player basically,
or can you do
as many factions as you want?
Realistically, I have 16 mechs, eight miniatures, and 8 cardboard standees. I have sheets for 16 mechs. We could play a battle of 16 players
with what
you
have,
one
Holy
mech
cow.
Per person.
Okay.
You know, you could easily do that. Now, with the map that comes with this one, you don't have that much space. Everyone's running into everyone else. Everyone's, you know, stumbling on toes, trying to shoot. However, if you did like I did and buy that map pack, you could put 4 of those map packs together and play a larger battle. So your squads typically are either in the form of a lance or a star if you're playing clans. Now, the clan stuff I'm not going to touch on right this second. That's the Kickstarter stuff that's coming out. The reason I'm touching on it now is a lance is 4 mechs, which for a 2-player game, 4 mechs is plenty to maintain because you're constantly following 4 mechs all over the table. A star, which is your clan one, is 5 mechs. Now, if you get 4 people playing with 4 mechs each, you know, that's, you know, 16 mechs on the field right there. Still, it's a cluster, but you don't have as many players.
Well, if you can expand the maps and hook them up, then you can
easily
literally have unlimited play. I mean, depending on how many maps you have, but kind of like other games, if you got a game table, and a lot of people just use a sheet of plywood.
Yep. And then you can also do the geohex stuff. You know, I've showed you the geohex before.
Yeah, you showed me
got
the geohex.
And you can get that with or without the hex on it. So the geohex without the hex, you can play the Battletech Total Warfare stuff rather easily. And it's a beautiful terrain for Battletech. Or you can get it with the hex to play the regular version of Battletech as well.
Doesn't that gentleman still make that?
He does.
He started again. But he's probably inundated now.
he's backordered at this point, but he'll make them until he dies, I'm sure. I mean, that's his retirement, and he's making good money doing it, so I don't blame him. It's good on him. He's come out with some new stuff. He did a waterfall terrain piece now.
Oh,
I saw that on the other day.
I remember we found his website, and it had been out for a while, but I think what happened is it kind of sounded like he got overloaded trying to do it all on his own.
So,
and that's the problem if you don't have much profit margin and you're trying to do it on your own. Wow, this is dangerous.
What are they doing here?
Well, this is dangerous, man.
They're redoing the bridge, that's why.
Yeah, but there's nothing on the side. You can't even hardly tell.
No, and they merged you
over. Wow, sorry about that. We had to take a detour, but the drop-off is like...
Wow, this is kind of scary.
Yeah, this is terrible.
But I suppose the bridge did need work, so that makes
sense. Well, but I could see somebody driving right off that.
Or a rig. Big old semi coming around.
Yeah, because you don't even... It looks like a gravel shoulder, but it's a drop.
Yeah, it drops
10 feet.
Quite a bit, yeah.
You're like, and it's very deceiving trying to make that turn.
That was a surprise, yeah.
Wow. Okay, well, anyways, this guy, that's what I got out of it, is he got overloaded because there probably wasn't a big profit margin for him to have other people.
Yeah.
And so you're just going to get burned out if you do anything all on your own.
If you order from him, it is all, you wait for him to make it and ship it to you. I mean, he's got a great process for doing it. It's still good quality stuff, and it's worth having, but we already have a lot of it anyway. You know, I got that entire box I gave you. So I'm
It's there at the house. I noticed we tried putting it together, but I think we need more of the square hexes or something.
Well, the hexes.
Yeah, the actual hex tiles. Yeah, those are large, though, and then that mountain terrain thing.
Yeah.
You should take that out, too, at some point to game with the new Battletech. Maybe redo the grass on. But when did you buy that? Back in the 80s?
I got that back in the day.
Yeah,
I think that was an eBay purchase, and it was just kind of a couple of the sets, whatever the guy had left over combined, and he was clearing it out.
Yeah, it's like oddball stuff.
Yeah, it is. So, but I mean, it worked when you didn't have any terrain, and we could make, you know, a decent sized map with what we had. It just wasn't perfect, but it worked. You know, we used it for the WizKids version of BattleTech a lot.
So, well, it's interesting terrain, and I mean, you could upgrade it quite easily too with all the new materials they have out for.
Yeah.
For what they call flocking and basing.
Yes,
and all that. I mean, you could make that really cool.
Indeed. And it's called GeoHex, so I'm going to say that. GeoHex. So if you want to check it out, I recommend you check out his website.
You can find him online.
And just see. I mean, you can still come up on eBay with it, too. So it's not like it's no longer available, for sure.
Well, I know he's back to making it. And I've seen some of the newer designs. It's got to be about a year ago I was looking, but it looked really cool. Now, if he's got a waterfall thing going, that's pretty neat, too. And he probably has figured out a way to do something a bit different far as production, because he's had decades to perfect it, you know. So.
And that's good. That's real good. I'm not going to talk about the gameplay, because we're going to do that in the video.
Okay.
I figured what we would do is we would do the unboxing, and then we'll just take a couple of the 55-ton mechs, and we'll just do a quick run through. I'll explain movement and shooting, and everything's now in plastic sleeves, so we can use the dry erase markers to mark off damage.
I like that some of the companies are doing. Did you notice on the new? I lost my train of thought. Okay, so the new Modern Warfare tanks. Has little tiny circles on it, so if you got a fine point dry erase marker, you can sit there and mark off your damage, which makes it nice.
Funny is BattleTech's always been that way.
Yeah. Well, that system's been around for a long time. Some companies have incorporated. Just like the taillights you were looking at. You know, there's something from the 70s that they're bringing back now as a new item. And people that never seen it before are like, woo! But it's old, old technology.
Yeah, it's an old idea.
And it's just, you know, shiny is all.
pretty much.
But, interesting.
See, what else is in that box? There's some scenario stuff in that box. Miniatures. Dice. I want to touch on dice. BattleTech is all played with 2d6. That's it. No other dice needed. You use 2 6-sided dice for everything in BattleTech. In the box set obviously comes with 2d6. Now with the Kickstarter, I'm going to get custom dice for the factions that I play. It does give you a good overview of the world, of the universe. You know, like all the good miniature games, there's lore. And BattleTech has had lore for almost as long as Warhammer has had lore. You know, as long as 40k lore has existed, BattleTech lore has existed and evolved and changed. And everything that's coming out now is just kind of a re-release of the old original stuff, modernized a little bit. There's a few tweaks to the rules, but I do mean just a few tweaks to the rules. The rule set for BattleTech, the charts, all the graphs, you know, all the stuff you use in BattleTech now, you were using back in the 80s. Yep, new power lines.
Yeah. The reels up. Well, so they're getting... It would make it a lot easier, maybe. Plus, there's people that didn't know anything about it and are just now hearing about it. So, I understand why they modernized it a bit, but yeah.
It was a brilliant move. The way they did it is just full on perfect. I mean, I, for lack of a better term of how they handled this rollout, it was the smartest choice they could have made to get new people into it and bring back all the old fans.
Well, with all the,
you know,
what Kickstarter is generating, all this talk.
So
you're looking at, if you guys didn't know or didn't hear in the other podcast, they asked for $30,000 to expand BattleTech. That's all they asked for. And they're at, what, almost $1.5 million?
No. This morning was $1,687,000 with 6 days to go.
Well, Clint's keeping an eye on it.
Oh,
so,
Clint is watching that fully.
So that's a little bit of a difference. Hey, I need $30,000. Okay, here's $1.6 million. Yeah. So
you
got a lot of interest in the game, man. There's a lot. And it's just growing.
And because of that, they are going ahead with their 3-year plan now. And looking at the pledge levels, looking at not counting the fan fiction, not counting the badges or the t-shirts or the hat, or just looking at the mechs and the maps, for example. With that Kickstarter, you've got the core box. It's the clan box, which means you get another rule book. It's a standalone box. You're just playing as the clans instead of the Inner Sphere. You're going to get 5 mechs in that box. And now it's going to be a $60 box set just like the other was. You're going to get a map. You'll get 5 mechs because they're clan mechs, and clan mechs does a star. Now, the interesting thing that people are going to get, especially with the Kickstarter, and this is one of the reasons why, if you're wanting this, you need to back it with Kickstarter. You're going to get the elementals. And what the elementals are the troops, the ground troops, in small, basically power armor suits. And the higher your pledge goes, the more what they call points of elemental. And a point is like 5 elementals. An elemental can rip a mech apart. It's crazy what they can do. You'll have the rules for using the elementals in that box set as well.
So you're better off pledge what you can if you're interested, because you're simply going to get more figures and more options and more things.
Interesting to touch on with that. So, because they have hit their 1.5 million now, the double pledge now lets you just pick and choose whatever you want, which is brilliant. And a lot of people really holding out for that, because instead of just getting double of the mechs you get to choose, you get more.
Now you pick, right?
So they put out, and this is definitely what I wanted to touch in on with the pledge manager. I had mentioned before the pledge manager lets you purchase individual mechs and everything after the Kickstarter stops. Well, they put out kind of an explanation of what the pledge manager is supposed to do. And here's the thing. So the pledge manager tool that will be coming out will let you, after Kickstarter stops, change your pledge. So if I'm pledging $150 and I'm going to get 4 mech packs out of this, and let's say if I remember right, the $300 pledge level gives you 6 more mech packs to choose from. So these are, you're not paying extra for these. I mean, you technically are by upping your pledge, but you're not paying an individual price for these. They're included with that pledge. That pledge manager lets you actually increase that pledge after Kickstarter stops. So if I wanted, say, another 6 or 8 mech packs, for example, it would be smarter for me to just bump my pledge to the next higher level and get the extra mechs versus paying $20 or $25 per pack for the mechs.
Yeah, you're going to save money.
You're going to save a ridiculous amount of money. At the level that I'm at, if I bump my next pledge, I get to have a character put into the world of their fictional world. I will have a character that will appear in the stories.
Oh my God, is it going to be like a crazy little Clint guy running around? Oh no.
So I will have the option, even after Kickstarter starts, and you get this option from the time Kickstarter ends to the time they ship out the items. So I've got from now until basically March that I can pick, change my pledge, add stuff, because I want to get those map packs that are now going to be vinyl versus the paper. I'd rather have the rolling vinyl mats.
Vinyl would be much better.
I can add all that. So maybe I put an extra $50 on it each paycheck, for an example. I buy the map packs. I buy some more mech packs. I buy another starter box. This is why, if you know, you, I know you can't play, you can't do the Kickstarter, but I can add another starter box.
Well, Kickstarter for ends a discounted, in 6 days?
Yeah, it ends in 6 days, and then you got to pay for it at that point for the Kickstarter pledge.
So it ends Saturday, then,
it ends,
right?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
I
think so.
I wonder if I can. If I can, I'll try well, to
and even if you did the $50 pledge, you'd at least get the starter box and a few of the extra stuff, like the coins. I think you now, even at the $50 pledge, you get one set of dice of your choice. And their dice is now all the factions, all the clan factions, all the house factions, all of that is now fair game.
Oh, okay.
All that, so the challenge coins, all that stuff is now, the challenge coins are just a coin with the symbol on it. That's all
well,
it is.
Well, yeah, you know, it's like a marker, but you probably use it as an objective.
You can use it, you can. You could easily use it as an objective.
I'll say some of the games I noticed did that. Warhammer just had that brushed... really nice, like a bronze set out for that. Same type of concept.
So, I mean, it's cool. I'm not going to complain. I'll take it. But even if you did the $50 pledge. Now, first of all, a $50 pledge gets you a starter box. As I said before, the starter box is $60. You're already saving $10 just by doing that. Plus, you're getting any extra stuff. Now, at the higher pledges, they're doing the salvage boxes. What there are is a little miniature box with a randomly inserted mech.
So that'd be kind of cool. You don't know what you're going to get.
So you just get these random mechs on top of all the other mechs you get.
Okay.
Like I said, the mech packs are going to be 4 or 5. And now with the Kickstarter being so high, and the reason I was saying they were expanding their 3-year goal, basically, you have your Inner Sphere mechs, which you have your box sets for. There's like, oh God, there's like 6 or 8 now Inner Sphere mechs. You have your clan mech packs, which is now 5 or 6 of those versus the one set that they were initially releasing, plus what comes in the box. And now you have 2 of the Comstar mechs. And Comstar, I'm not going to go into great detail on Comstar, but it's kind of a religious order, a technical religious order. And they had their own technology, their own stuff that existed within the main core of the world.
So they're a different faction.
So they're basically a different faction. But now you've got 2 boxes of mechs for them. So if you're like me and you just want mechs, you don't really care about if they're affiliated with this or that or whatever, because at some point you're going to be able to play mechs, period.
It doesn't matter.
Then that's just a brilliant way to go. Now, if I, for say, upgrade my pledge over time, and now I'm going to get, well, let's see, if I go to the $300 level, I think I get like 12 mech packs included in that Kickstarter. So these are mechs I don't have to pay extra money for. They're part of the deal. And most of those mech packs are $25 a piece, but in the store they're going to be almost $35. Just so you know, to buy it off the shelf later is going to be about $35 per mech pack, which really isn't horrible considering you're getting 5 mechs in some cases, and the cards and everything. There's extra decks. The maps, I said the maps are upgraded. So there's the 7 core maps for the one campaign that you get, some of them you get is in paper form free. They've all been upgraded to vinyl and they're double-sided. It is worth paying the $30 because they're going to be $39.95, I bet, in the store for this vinyl mat. And they're huge maps. So you can run this entire campaign with these maps. So I want to definitely order those so I have them.
In other words, if you're interested, get what you can, you know, afford. Don't put yourself in a bind
to put yourself
do it,
out, but
if you can, then get it, and you're going to get your money's worth, is what Clint's saying, because it sounds like you're just going to get far more with it if you get it through Kickstarter than when it hits retail. And besides that, you'll get it, I'm sure, first, because Kickstarter generally sends to the people who pledged first. So I'll have to see what I can do, though, Clint, because if I can, I might swing that Friday. I don't know. I just...
Listen, if you can even do the $50 pledge, you're going to get the rule box and some extra stuff. Then you can do add-ons from there. Or you have the option at that point, if you do the $50 pledge, to bump it up to the $95 pledge or the $150 pledge. Yeah. At that point, as long as you're in, then you can just tweak
once
it from
you're
there.
Doing it. Okay, so as long as you get in before the date closes,
right,
you can use this manager thing to increase
Your stuff. And like I said, where I wanted to buy the mech packs it's smarter for me to just up my pledge later and then add the maps and stuff that I don't
so
get.
So would they take the, say I did the $50 one, okay, they're going to so take the $50.
They'll take the $50 first.
Say Saturday or whatever.
Yeah, as soon as it closes.
So next week they'd take that. But then if I wanted to go to the $95 level.
Yep, you would pay the difference then.
The $45 so, difference would be taking out one in March or whatever.
Any
or?
Pledge managers that I have ever dealt with, they send you a code. You have a pledge manager, or you have a code, a backer code, basically. Okay. And that code says, you've already paid X amount of dollars. This is your pledge level. You log into the pledge manager, and now let's say I want to bump my pledge from $95 to $150. So it's going to be a $45 difference. I've already paid my $95. I plug in my code. It says, you've already paid $95. I'm going to select the $95 level now. Or, I'm sorry, the $150 level. So it's going to say, well, now your difference owed is $45. Here's my credit card. I pay the $45. Now it updates my account.
And now so on. If you want to go to the next level, or, 300, it's going to go, you've already paid.
Or I want to add. And it says, you've added this to your pledge. So then it becomes basically a shopping cart, if you will, at that point.
Yeah, but it's a way of allowing you to increase the pledge after it officially ends because so that you're not just missing out. Gotcha.
If this actually drops in March, like they're planning, because right now that is a very reasonable deadline, only because the box sets are already done. They've already said that
they've got a lot of production to do, though.
Already in production. Those they were designed, they were printed, they were already put together. The Kickstarter wasn't there to get the box set going, because the box set was done. The Kickstarter was to be able to start moving on from it. The $30,000 was basically a down payment, if you will.
Yeah, but now they realize there is a ton of interest in it. So,
and you know, and I know I've said this before.
I bet they fell out of their chairs.
Oh, they did. They were so
stunned.
They had
to be like,
if you look at the first email update, if you pledge and you can see the first email update, it was like almost 2 days after the first Kickstarter, and they're just like, yeah, we have no idea what to even say. They were so stunned that they're just like, we don't even know. Because at that point, when they saw that, they were probably like, oh, crap. Where
well,
do
know
we go
did?
From here?
They put it up, and then they probably all went about their day, went to lunch, and didn't bother checking it till the next day. And we're like, oh, wow, you know, because...
Well, because, yeah, they figured... I think the goal was, well, we'd probably get $30,000 in a week. I'm sure they figured it would fund. They didn't figure that it would fund in 7 minutes.
Well, I'm like, pretty sure they had no clue, until that happened, and then they were like, whoa.
Well, come on, guys. It's BattleTech. It's... You know.
Yeah, but you know what? It's something that's been out for a long time. Yeah. Necessarily, people don't know about it, but it is kind of like, you know, what Aries did. That these things are coming back in big ways because,
huge.
It's like I've said before, as much as I like video games, after a while, you're like,
yeah,
it's a rehash, and nobody wants to talk to anybody or get engaged in the game, and that's the thing with, well, it doesn't matter if you do board games or miniatures or Magic or card games or whatever it is you're doing, Dungeons and Dragons, you're engaging with people there with you. And I think that's what's coming back is people are like, wait a minute, this whole technology thing where people are face down, 50 people in a room, no one talks. That's just, you know, I mean, so there are people getting tired of it. So I think that's what's happening is it's kind of like a resurgence.
Yeah, and you've noticed even on our Facebook group, some of the people who are big-time video gamers are making comments about miniature games and either wanting to try it or...
And it's an easy transition.
Yeah,
like
it is.
I said before, with multiple games. Sure. So, but we're going to let you guys go with this commute. We're going to get a video of this today. And so give us a day or two. That'll be up on the YouTube channel. Same name, Gamers with Coffee on YouTube. We'd like it if you'd subscribe and spread the word.
Please.
Get some more. And give us suggestions, you know. That's the main thing there is we'd like to hear your feedback. Yeah. So you can email us off the page there or off of Podbean if you're listening to the podcast. There's a contact tab I got up there. So
nice.
You can send us an email directly to Gamers with Coffee. And it's actually a Gmail, just as long as it's not spam. Then send us your ideas. So we'll let you guys go. You guys have a good day. Clint. We're going to get his daughter and then head back to the house.
Do some BattleTech.
Yeah, we'll see you guys shortly.
All right. Bye.